said come.
Merry Christmas!
Did you have a nice Christmas?
Yeah, pretty nice.
Yeah, did you get everything you wanted?
Almost.
Almost, huh? Mm. Well, that's life. Well, there's always next Christmas.
Yeah.
Mm. Hey, that's funny. What's that over there behind the desk?
Where?
Oh, behind the desk, against the wall over there. Why don't you go check it out?
Come on. What did we put over there, honey?
Santa Claus probably brought it.
Now you all want to watch that movie, don't you? Let's turn the lights on. How about that? Hey, thank you. That's fantastic. I love that movie, A Christmas Story, if you've not seen it. You know, it's on every Christmas Eve. It's become a classic. Who knows the date it was released? 1983, which makes it, you know, a piece of classic cinema now. We watch it every year at Christmas Eve. We'll watch it as a family later tonight when we get back from my in-laws' house. And there's so many great scenes and lines from that movie. The classic line, which is, you know, said over and over again, "You'll shoot your eye out, kid," or all those things that are familiar to us. I particularly, about that scene, I love Ralphie's old man. By the way, his dad never has a name throughout the whole movie. He's just called the old man. Ralphie's old man's face when he's opening his gift, you know, he's giggling with excitement. He's as excited as his son is. And I know that as a father now, I know that sense of excitement. And when you're a kid, you know that Christmas is about the anticipation and the excitement of that moment, that Christmas morning. And of course, the whole movie is building to the moment when Ralphie finally gets the gift that he's so desperately wanted the whole time. And you know the name of the gift if you've seen it a couple of times. It's mentioned 29 times, once every 3 minutes in the movie. An official Daisy Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot range model air rifle with a compass in the stock. How many of you out there are Christmas Eve families? You open gifts on Christmas Eve. Yeah? So this is the day. How many of you all do it the proper way? You open Christmas morning. Okay. How many of you grew up in a family like my family where you were confused about this and so you opened some Christmas Eve and some Christmas morning? That's right. We did that. We had wonderful traditions in my family growing up, many that I really enjoyed. There were a couple things my mom always did, which I didn't really love as a little kid. One was we got to open one gift Christmas Eve, and she always chose that gift, and it was always pajamas. Christmas pajamas, no less. So by the time I was 10 years old, I'd figured out the gig, right? Just give me the jammies, take the picture, let's go to bed so we can get to the real thing in the morning. And the other tradition was Christmas outfits and Christmas photo ops. How many of you had parents that were doing this as well? Oh, there we go. Now, good. Spotlight on me. That's what I wanted. I asked my mom to email me one of these photo op pictures, and this is what she sent me. You'll see it here on the screen. Kids, don't be jealous. You can't get those pants anymore. Look at the size of that tie. It's ridiculous. My sister Jill next to me there, that looks nice. This timeless little angel outfit. What? I think my mom was just trying to embarrass me in the future with that outfit. It's terrible. Anyway, and the bowl cut is really a thing of beauty as well. All right, take that away and leave it away for the rest of the time. You've all got your Christmas traditions, I'm sure. Things that are kind of sacred and familiar and fun to you. But my favorite tradition by far for us, me growing up, was when my dad would write these series of badly rhymed clues, which would lead from one clue to another clue to get your big gift, the thing you really wanted for Christmas, the big gift. You know, there's a difference when you're a kid between things you need or you don't need, like pants like that, right? Socks, clothes that your parents get excited about, and things you want. There's a difference between new socks and pajamas and a new bike, like Miss Becky said, or a new puppy. When my son Noah, he's 21 now, when he was about 10 years old, he's 11, it doesn't matter for this story. He convinced his sister and his younger sister and brother, to put one thing on their collective Christmas list altogether, a puppy. Nothing else they would all three of them ask for. They just wanted a dog. And so we got them a dog. Her name was Ivy, and she still pees on our floor today, 11 years later. The vet said she grew out of that. Mm-mm. There's a difference between things that you want and things that you need for Christmas. So we would hunt for our big gift, the big thing, the thing we're most excited about. And the whole season, we call it Advent in the church, is designed, commercially certainly, economically, certainly, it's designed to build anticipation. Starts early around here. Whenever Starbucks releases its Christmas cups, right, which is August now, I think. It's ridiculous. But it's all building to this moment. And spiritually speaking, the same thing is true. The word Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, which means arrival. There's a sense of anticipation and excitement about the arrival of someone or something. Culturally speaking, it's, when you're a kid, it's the presence. But spiritually speaking, it's the arrival of the Messiah, the one who would come, who was to come. And this idea of anticipation building predates our cultural Christmas celebrations by centuries. Can you imagine what it would have been like more than 2,000 years ago, growing up as a child in a little Hebrew home? Instead of 'twas the night before Christmas, parents would gather their children around and they would read to them from the ancient scroll of the prophet Isaiah, who wrote, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. On the throne of David he will establish his government with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forever." Every year, these stories about the one who was to come, the baby who was to come. For centuries, children were told about the coming of the Messiah, their deliverer. In fact, they had their own cultural customs and traditions designed to create this anticipation, this sense of longing, with one difference. Every year, year after year, no Messiah. He didn't come. The stories were told, but he didn't come. And he didn't come until one night in a field, outside of a small, out-of-the-way, nowhere village called Bethlehem, shepherds, of all people, hear this announcement. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a great multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" When we read this story, it's natural to hear it. It's so familiar. Maybe you know it from the Charlie Brown specials, or just Christmas time. And we hear it from an earthly perspective. The shepherds, Mary and Joseph, the people who heard the message and received that gift, even if they didn't know what it was. But there was also an anticipation in heaven. The angels are the heralds, the announcers. They too have been waiting for the moment. Galatians chapter 4 tells us that when the fullness of time, God sent his son into the world. So not only heaven is waiting, earth is waiting, but heaven's waiting as well. The universe, as it were, is waiting in anticipation for the Messiah, the deliverer to come, the Savior to come. If only earth had known what was coming. You know the song, the Christmas song? Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight, you know? And every mother's child is going to spy to see if reindeers really know how to fly. Why? Because we're told those stories over and over again. What if the story that lived in our hearts was the coming of Christ then and someday? And every mother's child would spy to see if Messiah is coming. If only earth had known what heaven knew and the one who was coming, the anticipation, the expectation would be fulfilled in what was about to be given. The most commonly quoted verse in all the Bible, some of you will know it by heart. For God so loved the world that he what? Say that word again. He gave. The central truth of the Christian faith is an act of gracious giving by God Almighty. The God of the universe, who made all of us in his image, who made all that exists, gave himself. His one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God, verse 17, we don't quote this much, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to redeem it, to save it, that the world might be saved through him. The greatest gift, we heard a moment ago with the children, is a gift given in love, a gift given at great cost. These are the best gifts, aren't they? The gifts that you know are given in love. One year for Christmas, I wrapped up my mother's own perfume, half-used bottle, and gave it to her. I think I was five. She still talks about that. I'm embarrassed by that, but she sees it as this act of love from a child. Gifts given in love, and gifts given at great cost. You know, when Christmas season, when you're a kid, is defined by one central question before and then one central question after Christmas. What's the question before when you're a kid? What do you want for Christmas? And then afterwards, it's what did you get for Christmas? Now, when you're an adult, it's different, isn't it? It's are you ready for Christmas, which means have you done all the stuff, all the baking and the wrapping and the shopping and the preparing? What do you want for Christmas? And there's a difference, at least we think there is, between what we want and what we need, at least in terms of temporal gifts. But what if there's a gift that's everything you could possibly need and all you've ever wanted, all wrapped up in one thing? What do you want for Christmas? What do we get for Christmas? There's a place in John chapter 4 when Jesus is at a well and he visits this woman who's confused about who he is, doesn't understand that he's the one. And he says to her, if only you knew the gift of God. If only you knew the gift of God, which is standing right before you. It's a great statement. It's a statement on my heart for all of us this Christmas Eve. If only you knew the gift of God, which is everything you could possibly need and all you'll ever want. What do you need, Christmas? Do you need forgiveness of sin? Do you need a sense of comfort that you're not alone in this life? Do you need purpose? Do you need joy? Do you need peace? God gives that freely, but only in one way, by the giving of his Son, of himself. That's how you receive it. What do you want for Christmas? If only you knew the gift of God. Do you know? I look out and I see faces that I know. Many I don't know. Some I only know a little bit. But the God who loves you and who made you and who we worship knows you intimately, knows each of you by name, loves you with an everlasting love. I believe with all my heart he's asking you this question. Do you know the gift I've given? Do you really know what I've given to you? What's available to you? All you could ever need and all you'll ever want is found in Jesus. Do you know him? It's our tradition to end this service. I know it's still morning, by singing Silent Night. After I pray, I'll light the Christ candle, the final candle of our Advent candles. And then we'll stand together and we'll sing this song, this familiar traditional Christmas song. But I want you to pay close attention to some of the words in this song. I'd like you to be asking yourself this question in your heart. Do you know the gift that has been given to you? After I light the candle and pray, I'll come down. And we used to do this with real candles, but then we had an incident with a woman's hair. And so we don't just use electric ones now. I'll come down and I'll touch each of you in the first row of your candle, and then you can pass the light of Christ and his love and the gift of his grace and peace and forgiveness throughout the room as we sing to close this service. Let's stand as we pray. Father God, thank you for your indescribable gift, the greatest gift, the gift of yourself, that you, O Lord, would come into this world, this dusty and broken planet. You'd humble yourself. You'd become vulnerable like a baby. You'd live the life, the perfect sinless life that we cannot live. And then you'd die in our place for the forgiveness of our sin. Thank you for this gift. As we celebrate today and tomorrow, remind us often of this gift of your Son Jesus, who is more than we could ever need and all we will ever want. We thank you and we praise you in his name. Amen. It's good to sing that together. I know you like to take this with you, but we need them several more times. So as you leave, before the benediction, please drop these in the baskets as you leave on the way out. Now receive the benediction on this Christmas Eve. May you go in the grace and the peace of the one who is all you could ever want and more than you'll ever need. His name is Jesus. Amen, and Merry Christmas.